to the quarter. And because we touched on some of these ideas in Romans 14, discussing things that some things that we should tolerate amongst ourselves, and then we really almost swung to the other end in Galatians on things that they shouldn't tolerate, mainly these Judaizing teachers that came in that wanted to bind on them the old law. I thought it might be, or hopefully you'll agree, beneficial to us to go back and take more of a systematic approach, kind of case by case, on the idea of some conflict. And this is the first time I was thinking about how to put this together, even before we got to Romans 14. And if you have any feedback for me on how these slides went together and how we progressed through that, please let me know, because some of this gets not necessarily confusing to me, but I think it's difficult sometimes to lay this out because there's a lot of overlap in a lot of these ideas. Last time we talked about my first case that I put before you was the idea that how do we deal with stuff that's just absolutely pure opinion, it has nothing to do with the Scriptures, paint color, carpet color, things like that. And hopefully we realize that we should not ever let those things divide us, that we should approach them in an idea of humility and that and unselfishness when those things come up. The next case started to discuss is really is that of we've already covered in Romans 14. We can also see it from 1 Corinthians 8 and 10 as well. And that's the idea of a brother having something that they really feel strongly about that they could potentially stumble over. The stronger brother may feel that he has liberty from the Scriptures in order to engage in that. And the point from Romans 14 especially was that we need to approach all of this with love. We need to be aware of the conscience of our brothers and sisters. We need to make sure we're acting out of love during those things. And I said that we left off the last time saying this shouldn't divide us, but I left it open to say, is there times when this could or should divide us? And I don't necessarily mean in groups necessarily. I know this is thinking what the teacher is thinking, but when we look back at Romans 14 and this idea of conscience, is there a potential that we could or should, I should maybe emphasize, let something like this divide us? Well, think about this a minute. Let's say that, you know, I'm the weaker brother, and say there's something in a congregation that is a practice there that maybe I just can't really necessarily defend book, chapter, and verse. It's just something that really bothers me. Would I be justified then in maybe finding another, hopefully sound group somewhere else that would not be practicing that thing and thus ease my conscience? Would that be an acceptable thing for me to do? But now you're making the assumption that we always act as rational beings. And hopefully we would understand that sometimes we don't do that, do we? Do you want to see? Now, the limitation here, and I really didn't bring this up when we went through Romans 14, but one of the things that we have, and this could be a good thing or a bad thing, but when we look in our community, can you go out there and find sound congregations in our community that you could potentially go and join yourself with? Certainly. I think we would agree on that. In this time, how hard was it during the writing of Romans? What were their options? There weren't any, were there? There was, or we don't know that there were any. They couldn't just up and say, well, you know, this really bothers my conscience, I'm going to go over with this group over here. That likely was not a possibility for them. So that may very well be a possibility for us if we deal with something that bothers our conscience. Is conscience important? Yeah, it is. So there's kind of my exception to that, should that divide us, that no there. Does that make sense? Would you agree with that, disagree with that? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're absolutely right that the solution to this, And we can't over, we emphasized it in 14 when we were there, emphasize it again. The solution to a lot of that is good, diligent Bible study and saying, okay, look, this opinion that I have, this way that I feel about that, is my feeling based on feeling, emotion, or is it based on reasoning from the Scriptures? Yeah. All right, like I said, that's kind of a review of something we've already been over in 14. So you're getting ahead. we're going to get on that one. Okay, hold. Put a bookmark right there. Let me handle one here real quick. Case I made this a 3A. Okay, I think you'll maybe see why I did that in a minute. So case three, both parties don't believe this. And isn't this moving forward really where we live more? We go to the Scriptures and we reason and we say, okay, now I don't think this is opinion. And the other person says, I don't think it's opinion either, but you're wrong. All right, so we have a conflict there, and there's no recognition of opinion there. I go to my Bible and I reason from it, and this is what I believe, and you reason from the Scriptures too, and we just end up at different places. Well, there's a couple of ways, and this is why I did the 3A. First of all, if the subject matter is a personal held belief or an intellectual position, of course, let's be very wary of that, and let's not let those things divide us. Examples of this, some things we touched on in this quarter, or I mentioned, what was Paul's thorn in the side? Thorn of the flesh. What in the world is Peter talking about in 1 Peter 3 about that Christ preached to the spirits in prison? Who wrote the book of Hebrews? Okay, now, I have the right answers to those things if you want me to tell them to you, okay? But, do those things really matter to us? Or do they have any bearing on our lives? Well, no, not really. They're intellectually held positions. And let's resist the urge sometimes when we get into those studies to get on one side or the other of those, because really, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
I would amend
for 1 Corinthians 8:1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Let's be careful of the, I want to be right just to be right idea. Any comments on this one? This is the more important one, I think. First of all, we're going to the Scriptures, but we're ending up in the same in a different place, okay? And the subject matter is of personal practice. Now, I put held belief. I should have probably taken that out because that goes with 3A. But this actually does have application now. So again, this is something like head coverings or serving of the Lord's Supper or things that do affect us either corporately or more publicly. Well, should this divide us? Well, no. And again, this goes right, I'm going to come right back to what Sam was saying here. Let's study, let's be clear about these things, understand what's clear and understand what's not clear, and let's not allow things that are unclear to divide us. But then, if it's unclear, let's not let us divide us, and then let's resist the urge then to bind it on others as well. So the more gray areas we get into on those things gets back to the idea of not judging one another. Now, as we've seen, and this was our review then of Galatians, we do enter into some dangerous territory, though, when we start teaching certain things as fact or binding opinion on others. First, we should thoroughly study both sides of an argument. And again, kind of a review from Galatians, let's always remember to do these things in the utmost love for one another. So again, those things are, we kind of take this from a, I wouldn't say necessarily a negative connotation. I think every once in a while it's perfectly okay to step back and be proud of ourselves. All right? There are things that we disagree about here. And I've been here a number of years, and there are some subject matters that aren't entirely agreed upon. I don't think... somebody disagree with me. I've never seen anybody raise their voice. I've never seen anybody get mad. I've seen some people with their heads in their Bibles, and you know, they're right here, and you know, and maybe be animated about what they believe the Scriptures say. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But you know, take a little time sometimes to say, you know what, I don't see a lot of strife and conflict, even on these issues that you know we may disagree on. Kevin. Okay. All right. Thank you, Kevin. Comments on this? Of course, this is kind of the rubber meets the road one right here, isn't it? This is where we have to do our study and really spend a lot of our time. Mark 7, 6 and 7. Again, let's always keep this in the back of our mind. Christ said, He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." Let's always be wary that we don't let the things that are opinion become doctrine. Okay, four. This is... Party A does not recognize the subject as opinion, may or may not recognize the subject as opinion. So wait a minute, that sounds kind of like you're going backwards. But we do see this, do we not? And this gets a little more difficult because this is where the subject is a matter of public practice, and we can go to the Scriptures and we can start and we can clearly define these things. What is scriptural worship? Well, that's not unclear. We can go to the Scriptures and we can see what scriptural worship is. However, when we go out into the wide world and we say, hey, this is not opinion, this we can go, we don't recognize this as opinion, the other party says, well, either they recognize it as opinion, that we should have the freedom to do that. So in this category would be things like instrumental music, or different alterations of our worship service, our organization. You see a huge variety of departures from the faith when it comes to what the Scriptures say and the practice that we see. Membership, probably should have led with that one. That one probably to me is one of the most important ones. What does it mean to be a Christian? How do we define what it is to be a Christian? Well, if we're going to associate with Christians, shouldn't we know who are Christians and who aren't? How do you define that? Well, we go to the Scriptures and do that. Our corporate practices. And what I mean by that is, you know, and this is something, unfortunately, that has divided us in the past, is we have the command to give, to collect those funds. Now, how are we authorized to use them? I mean, that's not worship, but it's a corporate practice. And we can go to the Scriptures to see what authority we have for those things. Now, I know this is a tough question. Should we let these things divide us? Yeah. We almost feel apologetic sometimes. And when you go out into the denominational world or out in the world, you know, there's this idea of, you shouldn't let those things divide you. Well, yeah, you do. And we've got scriptural reason for this, too. Again, review of Romans. Romans 16, 17. "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to what? Contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them." We have a standard to hold to. If we can, again, what Sam said, if we can clearly go to the Scriptures and say, this is what it says, and this group over there isn't holding to that, then what's our authority for fellowship with them? There isn't. Comments on this? When you hold to a standard, the natural outcome of that is you're going to be in conflict. You just can't help it. When it comes to obeying the Word of God, we have every right to be narrow-minded. Any other comments on this? Go ahead. Good. Anything else on this one? Be back there. Okay. an unfortunate last one here. Party A does not recognize the subject as opinion. Party B insists that the subject is opinion, and the subject matter is subject is a matter of sinful behavior. Not fun, is it? Conflict there. But we have some guidance. We have some instruction. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. This is conflict. And unfortunately it happens. And, it's something that has happened here from time to time, but it's something we're commanded to deal with. We should not tolerate sin in our midst. And so, I've seen this happen in congregations. I've shared with many of you having to leave a congregation over marriage, divorce, and remarriage because one party insisted that was opinion. And no, that's not opinion. That's adultery. That's sin. And it can't be tolerated. 2 Thessalonians 3, but we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which you received from us. Skipping to 13, it says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Unfortunately, sometimes conflict cannot be avoided because it just flat out deals with sinful behavior. And we can't sweep it under the rug. We can't ignore it. We've got to deal with it. And attitude is in here, isn't it? Verse 15. What's the point here? Okay, we're trying to win them back. We're trying to win them back. We're doing everything in our power, everything in our arsenal to try and win that soul back. Okay, how do we reduce conflict? I didn't step this out. I threw it all up there at once. Well, we've talked about this a bit as we've gone through reducing conflict, love, humility, as we study, and study some more. I took this opportunity. I'd always wanted to do this, and it didn't take me very long. I just had never sat down and done it. If you go through and do a search for the word reason, and reason, reasoning, reasoned, you'll find it in that context. And I put Acts 17:2 to show you the context I was looking for. It says, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. This idea that we sit down and reason together, I think is a wonderful idea. And you can find that in that type of context at least 10 different places in the New Testament Scriptures. We're either an example or command that we use our mind, that we reason with one another. The other thing is, I put down a couple other points here. Let's be willing to change. And let's not make assumptions that we're right, because that's what we grew up hearing or have always believed. Again, just the idea that we should take everything back to the Scriptures. We're to stand on the Word of God, not what previous generations said about the Word of God. And we can't overemphasize the idea that we continue to study. I don't know about you. You may not have ever done this or needed to do this, but I think I'm a fairly smart guy. And I look back over my years of studying the Scriptures and how many times I've had to change my mind on something. I thought it was this. I thought it was this way, and either on my own or someone else pointed out, said, well, did you ever think about it this way? And after doing a little bit more study, I'm like, yeah, that's right. I had it wrong. Kevin, yeah. Let's not be afraid to change if what we believe comes in conflict to reasoning from the Scriptures. One of the tricks I've always used on myself, how many of you like to be right? I like to be right. Okay, so if I was not right in my view of this, but the right view is over here, hey, I think I'll pee over here and be right. Oh, forget that I was wrong before. Now I'm right. That's a great place to be. So, you know, little tricks to overcome your pride there. All right, that's all I had for us this evening on this. Any other comments on this? Go ahead. We'll close out with a word of prayer and then enjoy a few minutes of fellowship with one another. Our Lord God in heaven, we're indeed grateful, Father, for this time. Thank you, Father, so much for your word. We thank you so much that we have the opportunity to sit down and to study it, to hopefully glean from it the things that we need to know for our lives. We ask your blessings on those who study, that we will be pleasing to you, that we will work diligently to study your word, to learn from it, and to be good children of yours in your sight. Father, we're mindful at this time of a new year beginning. We ask your blessings on that new year as we move forward, both individually and as your church gathered here. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.